Robert asked me yesterday morning if I would introduce our speaker, and I guess I said, back in my mind, I was saying, Robert, you do it. But that wasn't what the Lord wanted. I asked him about, I said, when are we going to spread Bart? And he said, we're going to do it at 8 o'clock. So I said, okay, I'll be there. So we went down, we spread Bart yesterday. It was hot. Before I got out of the parking lot, Lisa Collins, she said, Daddy, can you come and help pull up some bushes out of my yard? I said, okay. Well, while I was doing that, you know, the Lord doesn't speak to me a lot of times, but sometimes when He does, He really gets my attention. And He said, you got an empty box at home, and I want you to take it to church tomorrow. And I want you to give a challenge to everybody there. You know, as Gideons, and this is not one of our boxes, I wasn't going to do that. I left my box at home. I said, I won't do it. This morning, Susan said the Holy Ghost will speak to us. Well, I think He spoke to me again in Sunday school. I told Larry a while ago I had something planned, but I didn't bring my box with me. He said, well, there sits an empty box back there in the cabinet. When we're doing distributions, the Gideons love to see empty boxes. When we got an empty box, we know we had enough Bibles to give away. We know that, you know, that's what we were supposed to do. We had them all there. The box is empty. But I bet you there's not a Gideon in this church and probably not a Gideon in the world that hasn't been on a distribution and you get to that empty box and one or two little boys or girls will walk up. And they'll say, please, mister, where's mine? Where's mine? And you look in that box, and you haven't got any. Sometimes it's even worse. Sometimes you got one, and you got two or three kids. And who do you give it to? Which one of them? Larry is going to come in a few minutes, and he's going to talk to you about what the Gideon Ministry is doing, what we're doing here in South Carolina, Piedmont, and around the world. Larry Nix and his wife Joanne, they're members of our camp here in Piedmont. They go to Beaver Dam Baptist Church, right out of Pelzer over here. They're good friends. And I want you to listen to what Larry has to say and think about this empty box while he's talking to you. Larry?
Thanks, Brother. Appreciate it. Good morning. I trust everyone has had a great day today so far. The Lord has blessed you. I need to ask you a favor today, right off the bat. Would you please thank Dr. Hearn for us for the opportunity to do this? I know he's not here this morning. I can't thank him personally. Would you do that for us? I would appreciate it. I'd like to ask you a question this morning. It's a very important question. How far down can Jesus reach for someone? Now, I'm sure each of you here has your own answer. And there are many answers to that question. But I'd like to share David's answer with you. David was a Satan worshiper. David took many innocent lives. He was sentenced to over 300 years in prison. David's attitude was terrible. Frankly, everyone hated David. He was a loner in the prison yard. And one day a man crossed that prison yard with a smile on his face. He had a little book in his hand. And he walked up to David with a smile on his face and said, Jesus sent me to tell you, He loves you. David said, bah, He can't love me, I'm too evil. And he leapt, stoned across the other side of the courtyard. But it began to bother him. Something about that man, whether it was his face or the smile he had, or whether it was the little book he had in his hand, he didn't know. Over the next several weeks, the two men became friends. David's friend was named Rick. Rick began to share Jesus to David. and he brought David a little brown testament. This one's red, but it's just like this. It's brown. He brought it to David, and David took it to his cell. Every night, before lights out, he would sit on his bunk and read. Finally, one night as he read, the Holy Spirit got a hold to him. He dropped to his knees. He asked Jesus to take over his life, forgive him for his sins. And for that moment, all the chains that Satan had him bound with dropped off. David was a changed man. His attitude changed. He began to witness all over the prison yard about Jesus. David, such a remarkable change in him that he changed his nickname from the son of Sam to the son of hope. And yes, that's the testimony of David Berkowitz, the son of Sam. Before I talk about who the Gideons are, let's talk about the mission of the church. Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." That's the mission of the church. The Gideons are Christian business professional men. You notice Christian came first. Their mission: to share Jesus to the uttermost parts of the earth. How do we do that? We take the church's message, your message. For every Bible the church purchases, we donate in there as well. We're members of the church. We help distribute them for you, both locally. You'll find us at the Springwater Park, some of the fairs, the schools on the sidewalks. You know, you can't get in the school now. You remember these when they came to the schools? You used to be in the school, you get the red one. That's a rarity. There are a few places left, but that's a rarity. This one happened to belong to my son back in, well, I better not say that. You'll know I'm over 29. We used to get in the schools. Now we have to go out to the sidewalk. Things are changing. We have to adapt to this world. So what the Gideons are actually missionaries of this church and thousands like it across this country and other countries around the world, although the United States has been the leader in sharing Christ to the world. Other countries are starting to step forward, but we're still the leader, one of the reasons God's still blessing this country. I know when we say God's blessing this country, a lot of things aren't going right. But he's slow to anger. He still remembers the things we have done. Now, as missionaries of the church, we need to share with you how your money's being used. Well, you're distributing scriptures in 197 countries around the world in 99 different languages. I have another question for you right here. How many missionaries does this church support? Do you know right off? I don't know the exact figure, but I can tell you it's in excess of 300,000 due to your associations with Gideon's International. We have over 300,000 men and women around the world placing scriptures and witnessing to share Jesus on your behalf. There are over 50 different venues that we place scriptures in. We try to place them in the scratchy lanes of life and the places where you get the most for your dollar. We're very frugal. I'll give you an example of that. See, this Bible right here has a paper cover. Inside of this Bible is a hotel Bible. You were kind enough someone to donate $5. It was placed in a hotel. When it became tarnished, we would take it out, replace the cover, and recycle it and use it in a prison where it wouldn't be contraband. The hard covers in some prisons are contraband. The hotel and motel Bibles have an anticipated 22 to 2,500 potential for people to reach. So that's pretty good for a $5 investment. You can turn around and recycle it in the prisons. And I can tell you now, Kirkland State Prison is begging for more Bibles right now. It's amazing that, you know, you can't get in the schools to give out Bibles, but they'll open the doors to the prisons. Come on in, bring them in. He promised he'd burn it. A young man was so upset that the Gideons were giving out testaments on campus. He took one from a Gideon there named Vinny. He began to yell and argue. Vinny told him, just read it. He said, I'll burn it. The next year, the Gideons were back at the same campus, same group of men, and a young man approached him and asked, is Vinny here? And Vinny stepped forward. He said, I came to apologize to you. My name's Rob, and I'm the one that yelled at you and told you I'd burn that Bible last year. But I took it home and I read it. I'm not angry anymore. I met Jesus. God does touch hearts and souls. You know, if we look in life, we find answers from God. I'm guilty. I never look enough. But when we ask, you know, sometimes God does work in mysterious ways if we'll look at His actions. Let's ask the fisherman in Siberia. He had a hard life. He spent every day fishing, and when he wasn't fishing, hunting to supply food for his family. He began, is there a God out there? If there's a God, answer me. Give me a sign. One day as he was walking along, something fell at his feet. He picked it up and looked at it. It's a little testament. It's a little different color from this in his language. So he looked around. Nobody was there. So he decided to take it home. He took it home and read it. He found Jesus. He shared it with his family. They found Jesus. And he began to share it with his village. And most of the villagers there as well accepted Jesus as their Savior. But you know, there's a miracle involved in that. God's work. How did that Bible get there? Well, it seems there was a supply flight flying overhead. Carried different things. And government officials inside, they were looking in the boxes. They would open them up. Look in this. Well, this is tools. This is good. This one's got books. We don't need those. It's funny how God uses things for His benefit. Is He in control in the scripture distribution of Gideon's International? Let's ask the Gideons in New Caledonia. Way down the lower end of the world, so we look down there, they're on the bottom. Or are we on the bottom? Small group of men and women there. It's one of those countries that can't afford to buy all the Bibles they need to distribute. So the extra funds from here go there to help them. So they were praying and waiting for their scripture shipment to come in. It came in. They got them. They were happy. They began to open the boxes up and look. Suddenly in the middle of that, they found Spanish Bibles. No, they don't speak Spanish there. So, well, what do we do? Well, what a good Christian should do. They prayed. So they prayed. You know, God doesn't always answer immediately. So they decided, well, we've got a place to store them. We can't ship them back. We'll store them over here. Short time later, a ship lands. One man gets off that ship. And we'll tell you who he is to see if you can tell me what he wants. He's the ship's chaplain. That's right. He's looking for Spanish Bibles. God is in control. You know, the world changes so fast. I'd hate to be in school studying history now. The country names change so fast I couldn't keep up with it. One of those small countries on the other side of the world that kept changing the names there, they decided their niche, they were going to be a gambling mecca. So they built this huge, elaborate hotel and casino. The hotel opened a few days before the casino. Some of the first guests were two men. They came in, made reservations, came in, and they made an appointment to talk to the hotel manager. So they met the hotel manager and began to talk with him, and they were told him how nice the hotel was. You know, they bragged on everything there, told him how nice it was, and then they explained that they were Gideons and they wanted to place Bibles in their hotel. Oh no, this is not a Christian country. We can't do that. The second Gideon had been very quiet all this time. He says, you know, this is a nice place. I see your casino here. He says, you've got everything Las Vegas has got, save one. He said, what? They want to be just like Las Vegas. He said, well, Las Vegas has Bibles in all their rooms. And Las Vegas, a lot of times, loves the color gold. They use these. Many of the places, if you've been to Las Vegas, you'll probably find some of these. As they continued to talk to that manager, he got permission, and they placed Bibles in that hotel. Within 2 months, the Gideon's International had received a testimony from a lady who was saved from one of those Bibles. You know, God's Word is gold. You know, on the streets in Nepal, there were two businessmen. They went to lunch, so they were walking down the street. They were witnessing, passing out a few testaments, and they noticed they were being followed. Well, they looked back, they saw them, but they went ahead and continued on. And then they went to eat lunch. They were sitting there. The two men following them came and sat at another table. A few minutes later, one of them walked over there, pulled out his identification. He was with the secret police and said, "We know what you've been doing." Well, you know, that kind of quietens you a little bit. One of those businessmen was a little bit bold. I believe we ought to be bold as well. He said, "We were sharing about Jesus on our lunch break." He reached in his pocket, pulled out his card, gave it to me. Said, "If you'd like to know more about Jesus anytime, come see me." You know, he didn't think much about it. They went on. About a week later, the businessman had a knock at his door. It was that policeman. He wanted to find out more about this Jesus. You know, that policeman today is a Gideon placing copies of God's Word. Numbers are important in the Bible. You know how the symbolism is. Numbers are also important in the Gideon ministry. 25. What's so important about 25? Well, a backcountry school in a foreign country, the Gideons had came. They were going to make a distribution at the school. They got there and the children were all gone. Oh, they were, you know, disappointed, but they were talking to the teacher. Said, "No problem." Ring the school bell. And from everywhere, kids just came back. They ran back to the school. They wanted those testaments. So they rushed back from all testament. After each child was given a testament, the Gideons were invited to tour the school. The principal said, "I want to show you our library." Took them into the library. There on the shelf was 10 little books. Different color, but just like this on the library. That was their library. When the Gideons pulled one out, opened it in the back, except for the red one, you know, all the Gideon testaments have the plan of salvation and a place to sign your name if you've accepted Jesus. When Gideon opened it, and there, in that book, he counted 25 names in the one book. So 25 is important. That book was important to 25 children. You know, we do distributions in foreign countries. We do them locally. As I told you, we've been to Spring Water Festival, the fair, the local detention centers, the jails, prisons. Local detention center around here, testimony came in the other week. One of our auxiliary members was waiting to go back and talk to some of the prisoners. And a young lady came in with her daughter. You could tell her she was pretty distraught. So she went over and spoke to the child and said, "Can I give her a Bible?" And I asked the parent, "Sure." She gave her a Bible, being explained the helps in the back, was talking to her. And she looked up at the mom, "Can I give you one too?" She accepted one. They began to talk for a few minutes, and she shared Jesus, and she accepted Jesus. Now, the auxiliary member didn't get her name, but, you know, God's got her name written in that Lamb's Book of Life. So things happen here. They happen around the world. In Argentina, they were doing a private school down there. A bunch of children had come from broken homes down there, and the administrator allowed the Gideons to visit classroom by classroom to distribute testaments. When they had finished, he invited them, said, "We'll gather the children together. Would you like to share the plan of salvation with them?" So they called them in together in assembly, and Gideons began to share the plan of salvation to them. And then when they asked, "Do you want to receive Jesus?" 240 little hands went up. These Bibles are important. God's Word does not return void. Isaiah 55:11, I know you've heard it quoted many times, but you could never say it too much. My Word shall not return void, but shall accomplish what I please, and the thing whereunto I send it. You know, I mentioned something about this. You remember these? You remember dinosaurs? This will soon be a dinosaur. School distributions, it's rare you can get inside one now. It's getting even harder to do them on the sidewalks out front because a lot of them are being built where they're not at. So what do you do? You have to think to the future. So there's something new. So let me share a testimony and I'll tell you about it. Someone I knew slipped a life book onto my desk. Catherine was having a rough day until she received a life book from a classmate in her class in New Mexico. It was my last class, she said, before the bell rang, and someone I knew slipped a life book on my desk. He didn't say much. He didn't have to. The book was inviting, so it piqued my curiosity. So she began to read and learned that God loves her and revealed who God is to her. That was shared by Catherine in New Mexico. Now, I mentioned life book. Most of you don't know what that is, so let me take a brief moment and explain. A life book is a paperback copy of the book of John. Gideons do not distribute it. Youth of the churches distribute it. So a life book, for example, if your pastor, say you had a youth pastor, the youth pastor could order those at no charge. They're covered through donations. And the youth care in the school, they can distribute anything like that at school. There's no problem with that. We just have difficulty getting in. So those are a good opportunity. That started up a few years ago as a trial thing. It jumped into the millions quickly. The last thing I heard was 7.8 million. It's the book of John in paperback. Some of the earlier youth that had read it made some comments. They're penciled in. A couple of adults have comments penciled in. It shares a plan of salvation in there as well. So that's something else that is reaching out to catch others. You know, I don't want to keep you here all day, so I want to give you a couple of little thoughts here. James 5:16 tells us to confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That last part, a promise in God's Scripture, I'd like to claim today. What I would like to ask you for those prayers, I'd like to ask you for traveling mercies for the Gideons, both the local and the ones traveling around the world. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Gideons can go into places sometimes that missionaries can't go. You remember a few years ago, all the problems in Zimbabwe, the missionaries were coming out, the Gideons were still going in. Laborers, we need more men and women to work, to carry His Word out and distribute it. I'd like for you to pray that God would provide that need for us. If any of you would like to learn a little more about the ministry, please see me after the service. See Al, see Robert. We'll help you with some details and more information about it. Pray that God would touch hearts. He would keep us in His will, and that He would provide the needed funds to place these scriptures. Back to the empty box. Here's the thing. How many scriptures do we carry? It's simple. How many scriptures are purchased by Bible-believing churches across the country is how many we distribute. So when you hear the figure that we distribute over 84 million last year, I think the figure was in excess of 84.5 million last year. That's what was bought. If we had bought 60 million and been donated, or 100 million been donated, that would have been what we distributed. The Gideon Card Program. It's a very simple program. You have racks here in the church. Ladies do this more than men. The in memory card is one most people think of is when someone passes away, you place Bibles, hotel Bibles, in memory of someone. You send them a card, you know, versus flowers, in lieu of flowers. They're having recognition, in memory, thinking of you. The recognition one is special to me. I had an aunt and uncle there, and I passed away, but they had a 50th anniversary. And my uncle said, you know, I appreciate my friends, but a lot of times they'll give me a bunch of little things. I have to add a couple of shelves in the house to sit all this up on. He said, I'd prefer that they give Bibles. So they asked for Bibles to be donated for their anniversary. So you can do that in recognition. There's a few new cards out as well. If you run short of cards, please see the men in your church here. They'll be glad to get you more. But all you have to do is fill out on it how many Bibles you want to place. You got a place for a message inside. There's a testimony on the back. This one has, doctors were treating my wife for cancer. During her first chemotherapy, I went to the hospital chapel to pray. I called out, God, if you're real, please let me know. At the motel that night, I found a Bible placed by the Gideons. In the book of Matthew, the Lord taught me what I needed to know. Shortly after that, my wife and I gave our lives to Christ. Send a card. Provide the word. Save a life. There's a simple little enclosure that you can make a donation when you do a card. Just mail it right back to the camp. They'll send you a receipt for it that you can use on your taxes. I mentioned something about being interested in the Gideons to see us. You know, that's something we have to be very aware of. That my name's not Methuselah, so I won't be here forever. We need some others to take our places. We need some others to work alongside us. So please remember that. We had an email come in from a statement from a pastor just a week or so ago. It came in the other day, and I thought it was so good, I'd like to share it with you. Young pastor in Aiken County. He just started out. He had a small church. His congregation was about 45 people. So you know he didn't make a lot of money. He's just starting out. The Gideons were coming to his church. He'd set it up, you know, and he's thinking about what he was going to donate. You know, the pastor's always sets an example for everybody else. So he said, yeah, we'll donate $20. You know, things are tight. I don't have a lot of money. He got thinking about it a little bit later. Let's make that 50. Now, the morning before the church service, he was having his second cup of coffee, sitting outside, just relaxing a little bit. And his new squirrel dog came up. He was a squirrel hunter. I'd never heard of a squirrel dog, but, you know, there are squirrel dogs just like there's coon dogs and bird dogs. His new squirrel dog came up beside and nudged his leg. He just bought it a short time before that for $125. And as he reached over and fed his dog, drinking his coffee, the Lord spoke to him and said, do you love me more than a squirrel dog? Oh, it hits your heart type. Pastor shared that to his congregation. Needless to say, his offering was the price of a new squirrel dog. So my thought to you, what's your squirrel dog? Is it a new pair of shoes, a new pocketbook? Guys, is it a new cell phone? I'd like for you to think about that for a moment. You know, there's two things that we cannot recover. The occasion when it's missed. If we go to distribute testaments, we may not have that opportunity at the same place, same people again. The time after it's gone, you can't recover time. That's your most valuable thing. If you could roll back the clock, would you not do so? We need to remember those. I'm going to do a brief prayer. I'd like for you to think about it, pray about it, and there's an insert in your bulletin. A lot of times my wife and I, we forget to bring a check. If you've been in that situation, one of these is in your envelope. You can write a check, send it to the camp anytime. So if you happen to not bring your checkbook today, you can send one of those in. If you're one of the new guys, the techno gurus, you know, I got a smartphone for a dumb guy. When I first got it, I couldn't even answer. Literally, I mean, but if you're one of these techno guys, there's a little thing you can shoot in on your phone and you can make donations over the through the phone that way. It's kind of a new type of thing. There's also on this flyer this little tab that's like a lot of church brochures will have. And it tells you that you, hey, if you want to use your credit card, you can fill it out right there, send it in, put your check Visa, MasterCard, put your number and all that just like you would do anything else. It has something different. A lot of people have asked, well, instead of donating a big amount, could we do something regularly? Yes, you can donate one time, or you can click out, check on there and say, hey, put me down for X amount every month. And you sign it, we'll send it into International, and they will run that in every month for you if you like. So there is another option for you. I want to thank all of you for your attention and the opportunity to be here. Please remember to thank your pastor for me, because I like to do that personally, but I don't have that opportunity today. Let's pray. Father, as we continue in prayer here, we pray for these people in this First Baptist Church. We pray for its ministry, its outreach. We pray for the community and the neighborhood, Lord. We pray that your word would continue to touch hearts and save souls, Lord. We pray that you would continue to encourage us and strengthen us, that we might be of use to you, Lord. We give you the praise, honor, and glory in everything you do. In Christ's name, amen.